So Lord Chaitanya used to chant that when he's going through the Jarikanda forest and in ecstasy, and he was converting even the wild beasts and animals to the chanting of the holy name. And many of Lord Nityananda's pastimes are of this sort of flavor, that some kind of extraordinary ecstatic dealings. So hopefully we'll be able to... I'm being intimidated now with recordings, but we'll be able to touch on some of these things. I just wanted to read Prabhupada's purport to this last song that we sang, Parama Karuna, to begin, because it's short and it's very deep. He says, this is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Dui Jana means two. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nitai Ghorachandra, Lord Nitai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. Parama Karuna, Sabha Avatar Sharashiromani. Avatar means incarnation, and Sabha means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, kevala anandakanda, for they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Krishna, who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful. Simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, Bhajo Bhajo Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction, Vishwasa Kori. But what is the process? The process is Vishaya Choriya Se Rase Majhiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Muke bholo hari hari. One simply has to chant, Hare Krishna, Hari, Hari, without any motive of sense gratification. Deko ore bhai tribhuvane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, my dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. So, this prayer by this great Acharya, it goes very deep into the essence of Krishna consciousness and the essence of the mission of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So, it's too bad that that we don't have someone, or at least today, we don't have someone that can understand these things, but I seem to have lost some of my stuff here. Just a second. So, there's a great deal to cover in any discussion about Lord Nityananda. So we can start with the identity of Lord Nityananda. Who is Lord Nityananda? And Krishna is the origin of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. So his first expansion is Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is the Sankarshan of the first quadruple expansion of the Lord. Then from that Sankarshan it comes Narayana. From that Narayana comes the second quadruple expansion. And from that Sankarshan of the second quadruple expansion comes Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and Shirodakshai Vishnu. So basically Krishna expands Balaram and Balaram does everything else in terms of the creation of the place and the forms and figures of the entire spiritual and material creation. So you could say there Krishna is the origin and then Balaram is the origin of everything else. Or that Krishna is the origin of Balaram and Balaram is the origin of everything else. So it explains that he does everything and he is considered to be the original spiritual master. Lord Balaram or Lord Nityananda. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada states, in all of the ancient literatures of devotional service and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. So, the spiritual master, sometimes we hear that the spiritual master is the representative of Srimati Radharani, but Prabhupada says also either Radharani or Nityananda. Now, why is that? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah? That's partial, yeah, partial answer, yeah. They are considered to be the embodiment of devotion, each one of them. They have nothing in their heart and mind except pure devotional service. They are the embodiment of devotional service. Because, for instance, Balaram serves the Lord in 10 different kinds of service. This is mentioned also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 5. It says that he serves as the umbrella, the slippers, the bedding, the pillow, the garments, the resting chair, the residence, the sacred thread, and the throne. So he expands himself for service in innumerable ways. And of course, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he is always rendering service. In fact, his whole mood, it's just interesting because in this, although Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna, when Lord Ram appeared on the earth, his younger brother was Lakshman. So sometimes Balaram appears as the younger brother, sometimes as the older brother. And even though he appeared as the older brother of Lord Chaitanya, because actually Vishwarup, Lord Chaitanya's brother at as the son of Jagannath Mishra. But Vishwarup took sannyas and disappeared, and later on it describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he remained mixed with Lord Nityananda. So he was his brother, and technically he was his older brother, but his mood was that of Lakshman. His mood was like Lakshman, and what was Lakshman's mood? That he was completely absorbed in thinking of how he could execute the order of Lord Ram, how he could serve him and assist him. So his mood was completely that one of a devotee, of a completely sold-out servant. In fact, before Lord Chaitanya began to manifest his Sankirtan pastimes, Lord Nityananda didn't perform any kind of Sankirtan or any or reveal himself in any way. He traveled all over India with a sannyasi. I'll get into more about that later, but he traveled all over India to all the holy places, just as Balaram had in his previous appearance. Went to all these different holy places, traveled for 20 years to all the holy places, and then he ended up in Vrindavan. And while he was in Vrindavan, the only thing he did is he hung around with the Brijbasi children, and he played with the children, rolled in the dust, it says, and played with the children. Nobody knew who he was or what he was about. And he actually decided he wouldn't manifest anything until Lord Chaitanya ordered him to. So he was kind of waiting for Lord Chaitanya to manifest his pastimes of Sankirtan in Navadvip. So now I'm going to go back a little. Lord Nityananda appeared in Radhadesh. It's a place some distance from Navadvip. His father was Hadai Oja or Hadai Pandit. His mother was called Padmavati. His parents were intensely attached to him, as you can imagine. He was not only was a beautiful child, but his activities were extraordinary. Because even from birth, practically from birth, and as soon as he was able to walk, he began to enact all the different pastimes of Krishna. Not only did he enact not only Krishna, but all the different incarnations. So he and his friends used to spend the entire day enacting various pastimes. This was their only business. And everybody became so attached to him and to all of his friends that they became the life and soul of that whole community at Radhadesh. And ultimately, in one particular pastime, they were imitating the pastime of Hanuman going to fetch the herbs from the mountain that would cure Lakshman, who had been wounded in the battle with Ravana. And so they were performing this pastime, and then at the point where Lakshman had been shot by the arrow and was apparently about to expire. So this was all in a play. The whole village had gathered around to watch the children perform this play. So he stopped breathing. He was so absorbed in this pastime that his breathing stopped. And so all the residents began to lament, and his parents were... it was a little bit like when Krishna was wrapped up with Kaliya. That mother just sort of fainted dead away. I think her face turned black or something. I mean, it was a tumultuous scene where everybody was lamenting. And the children were so bewildered by the fact that he wasn't breathing that they forgot their parts in the play. And then somebody said something about another play that had been enacted years before that, in which somebody had apparently passed away, but it was just because they'd become so absorbed in the drama. And then one of the kids remembered, oh yeah, the one who was supposed to be Hanuman. Somebody said, Hanuman, you have to go and get the herbs to cure the Lord. So the child went and they continued this drama. There was a big fight. And maybe some of you know the story, but anyway, there was a lot of turmoil in him getting those herbs. Then finally he just brought the whole mountain. And then they brought the herbs before the Lord, and by passing them beneath his nostrils, he was revived. And everybody in the village was ecstatic, and there was, huge celebration. The whole thing had actually been enacted as though those pastimes were manifested right on that spot. So this is the way he passed his childhood up until the age of 12. When he was 12 years old, a sannyasi came to visit, was traveling through, And he was spending some time with Nityananda's father, who was a Brahmana and a great pundit. So he was staying at his home, and he saw this wonderful boy and became a little attached to him. So the next morning before he left, he said, I wanted to ask you a favor. And Hadai Oja was a little bit like King Dasarath. He was so attached to his son was his life and soul. In fact, whenever they used to go anywhere, he would keep his son right next to him. Whenever his son was out playing with his friends, his father used to follow him around. He was so attached. He didn't want to let him out of his sight for a minute. So this sannyasi said, I had a favor. He said, yes, ask anything. You know, fated words. You know, you want to be careful when somebody asks you for a favor and you say anything. Unless you're prepared to give anything, you shouldn't say yes, anything. Anyway, he did. He said, anything you like. So he said, well, I'd like to have your son as my brahmachari assistant. I'm going to traveling on pilgrimage and visiting so many holy places. So I'd like him to come with me. So the father practically fainted away when he heard this. But he thought, what's going on? So he thought that, he was thinking that it was a little bit like... help me with my memories. You know, I'm a senior citizen now, so you have to help me here. Who was the, the demon that Ravana made go and appear as the deer? Marichi, wasn't it? Marichi. Yeah, so he was feeling a little bit like that. You know, it's a kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. He was thinking, I can either be killed by Ravana if I refuse to go, or I'll be killed by Ram if I do go. So better to be killed by Ram. So Hadai was thinking, well, if I don't give my son, then my word will be broken, and it's practically like being dead. I'd rather be dead than break my word. But at the same time, I'll be dead if I give him, but it's better if I give him then and die that way. So he was thinking like that. So then he thought, but before I do it, I'll consult my wife. I'll just see. You should always consult your wives. So he consulted his wife, and she said, she heard what the situation was, and she said, do whatever you think is right. She was detached enough to say that, do whatever you think is right. Because she was the embodiment of Dharma, she wasn't going to break any principle of Dharma, so she said, do what you think. So he gave his son to this sannyasi, and then for the next 20 years, Lord Nityananda was traveling with this sannyasi to practically any holy place you've ever heard of. He went there and spent time there. He went to Jagannath Puri. He went all over India. And he ended in Vrindavan. And in his travels, he met with Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Dvaitacharya. Now, some people say that Madhavendra Puri, there are statements that say that Madhavendra Puri was also the spiritual master of Lord Nityananda. In other places, it says that Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, was the spiritual master of Nityananda. In any case, in the purports by Bhaktisiddhanta, he says it doesn't make any difference. He said this consideration of guru or godbrother, he said whether he was the guru of Nityananda or whether he was the godbrother of Nityananda, he said they both respected the other, each respected the other as guru. So many times in relationships between devotees who are godbrothers, one is approaching the other as a disciple would approach a spiritual master, and the other is approaching, they're both approaching in the same way as disciples, but both seeing each other as master. And this is confirmed by our etiquette when we say Prabhu. This is actually the mentality that's supposed to be behind it. It's not Prabhu, please, you know, polish my shoes. It's Prabhu, how may I serve you? That's the proper mood or proper etiquette between godbrothers, Vaishnavas. So when they met, it was Ishwar Puri, at that time, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri and later to become the guru of Lord Chaitanya, was there when they met, and there was this incredible scene which Vrindavan Das Thakur attempts to describe, but it's so extraordinary. They were in such ecstasy that they embraced and fell on the ground, and both of them went unconscious for a very long time. So the disciples were a little concerned because they weren't sure what had happened. Then when they finally awoke, they were constantly embracing and talking about Krishna's pastimes and talking about, you know, all kinds of topics of Krishna consciousness. They spent days and days traveling together, and both of them were glorifying the other as the embodiment of devotional service. As you know, Madhavendra Puri is considered to be the root of Gaudiya Vaishnava conception of that the highest form of devotional service is that of the gopis of Vrindavan. So that mood was previously not in the line of Madhvacharya. Lakshmipati Tirtha came in the line of Madhvacharya, but that mood was manifested by Madhavendra Puri, so he's considered to be the root of the Gaudiya branch of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So in this way, he met Madhavendra Puri and later came to Vrindavan. When he was in Vrindavan, he drank only milk, and that milk was only if somebody offered it to him without him asking. Otherwise, he didn't eat. He just drank milk, it says, and played with the children, and he was always in the mood of a child. So I just wanted to read something, if I can find it here. Here we go, Adi 9. Yeah, it says that after visiting various holy places in this way, Lord Nityananda returned again to Mathura. He continually stayed in Vrindavan and became so absorbed in Krishna that he did not know whether it was day or night. He did not eat, but he occasionally drank some milk whenever someone offered it to him. Lord Nityananda knew well that Lord Gaurachandra was living incognito in Navadvip. He thought to himself, I will go serve Lord Gauranga when he manifests his opulences. Thinking in this way, Lord Nityananda did not go to Navadvip, remained at Mathura. He regularly enjoyed sporting in the waters of the Jamuna and playing with the children in Vrindavan. Although Lord Nityananda is omnipotent, he did not distribute devotional service to the Lord at that time. When Lord Gaurachandra manifests his opulence, then on his order he would begin to distribute devotional service. The servants and associates of Lord Chaitanya did not like to do anything without his instruction, but this does not diminish their glories in the least. So this is a verse from these are some verses from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now the purport is written by His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he writes a very interesting purport. And I wanted to read this one in particular. He says, being a personal expansion of and non-different from Sri Gaura Krishna, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is Baladev, the personification of pure goodness, and who is the only bestower of love for Gaura Krishna, neither displayed mercy on anyone nor distributed or preached chanting the holy names in love of God while visiting the holy places, thereby surpassing his eternally worshipable Lord Sriman Mahaprabhu's desire, direct order, or time for the pastimes of preaching the chanting of the holy names in love of God. So he did not consider that he could, without being specifically ordered, that he could do this. There's no question of his capacity to do it. There was no question of his qualification to do it. But since he had not been ordered to do it, he didn't do it. So Bhaktisiddhanta considers this a very significant fact. He goes on to say, when the supreme independent Lord Mahaprabhu, out of his own free will and causeless mercy, will manifest his own glories to the fallen souls, at that time Sri Nityananda Prabhu will also manifest the pastime of door-to-door distribution of the holy names and love of God to the sinful living entities. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda, anyone who desires his own welfare does not transgress etiquette and manifest elevated language or material ego on the pretext of preaching topics of Krishna while proudly masquerading as a guru in the presence of the Supreme Lord or his empowered representative, the Vaishnav Guru. So the etiquette is that you act upon order. You act upon the order of the superior Vaishnava. You don't whimsically think, oh, I'm very qualified, I'll do this service or that service. No, you wait until you've been ordered to do a service, then you may do it. It says here, this is why Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in his pure devotional songbook, Kalyana Kalpataru, as follows. Amita Vaishnava e buddhi hoile, amani na haba ami, pratishtasa ashi hridaya dushibe, haibe nira yaghami, which means, this is a nice verse, if I think I am a Vaishnava, I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollute my heart, I shall certainly go to hell. The eternally blissful form of knowledge, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, is the eternal worshipable Lord of the living entities. And to carry out his order with body, mind, and speech is real Vaishnava fame. This is pure transcendental spiritual identification. This position is most relishable and beyond the insignificant, partial, abominable nature of perishable matter. And becoming prominent or dominant in the material sense is actually abominable, anxiety-filled service and simply another way of describing one's insignificance. So Lord Chaitanya had not ordered, so Nityananda was waiting. So when the news came to Lord Nityananda that Lord Chaitanya was enacting these pastimes of Sankirtan, because as you know, when Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, he met Ishwara Puri there, received initiation, and came back in a completely altered state. When he came back to Navadvip, previously he had been enacting his pastimes as a scholar, but when he came back to Navadvip, he was in an incredibly ecstatic condition. And actually, his mother thought that he'd gone mad. And she was very worried about him and had physicians come to examine him and so forth. And one of the great devotees, I believe it was Srivas Thakur, came and examined Lord Chaitanya and said, "There's nothing wrong with him. I wish I had his disease." Or words to that effect. So when he began to manifest these Sankirtan pastimes, then Lord Nityananda traveled to Navadvip. And he was staying at the home of Nandana Acharya, who was a great devotee of the Lord. So one day, Lord Chaitanya announced that he had this amazing dream, and he was describing the appearance of Lord Nityananda and how Lord Nityananda seemed to, you know, be glowing with all his effulgence and how he was actually a manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And he was going on and on and on about this great personality that appeared in Navadvip. He said, "I want all of you," he said to his associates, "I want all of you to go out and find him." So they searched. They went out and they began searching. They searched for 9 hours. They couldn't find any trace of Lord Nityananda. So they went back and had to express their inability. So Lord Chaitanya said, "That's all right, I'll take you." So immediately he led them to the house of Nandana and Acharya, and there was this incredible meeting. So many things happened in the course of this meeting, but they recognized each other, and also all the Vaishnavas recognized the identity of Lord Nityananda and the identity of Lord Chaitanya, and the two lords were ecstatic meeting up again, because Nityananda was like the soul of Lord Chaitanya. When Nityananda was attacked by Jagai and Madhai later on, he actually said that the body of Lord Nityananda is much more important to me than my own. He said that he expressed that Nityananda was his very soul. So this was the two brothers were inseparable, in a mood of the only. It said also that no one could control Nityananda. As you know, he was sometimes called Avaduta, and he used to do some peculiar things. For instance, I mean, there's so many things, but one thing that he used to do is when he was near the Ganges, he would jump into the water and try to capture the crocodiles. And people would try to stop him, but he wouldn't listen. And he used to go up to the... this is all in the lament of Haridas Thakur, which I'll read to you later. But at one point, he used to go up to the girls that were not married and say, "You're not married, why don't you marry me?" And he would do all kinds... He would steal milk. He would... He would attack the Brahmins in the Ganges, and then the children would go and complain, and the parents would come, and Haridas Thakur would have to run interference to try to keep them from rioting. So there are all kinds of peculiar things, but his mood was one of child. He was always in a childlike condition and in a mood of ecstatic absorption in the chanting of the holy name. So after this meeting, there's a description of how, because he was a brahmachari at the time, he used to carry a staff and a water pot, and he broke his own staff and water pot and threw them away. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta writes an elaborate purport saying this should not be imitated. Because he was an avaduta, he was beyond all the rules and regulations, but he did a lot of peculiar things. It says that only Lord Chaitanya could control him, and that the way he did that he had words which are like iron. He used vachana. He used words as a way to control Nityananda. He would say, "Don't do that." And if he gave him a direct order, Nityananda would immediately stop whatever he was doing. So I wanted to read a little section from the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sorry, this is a little cumbersome, but I don't have a memory like Radhanath Maharaj, so I have to depend on these books. Let's see. Nope, wrong one. Five. Okay, almost there. Well, it's a nice section. In this section, Lord Chaitanya had manifested a six-armed form, and Nityananda Prabhu was completely amazed to see it. Well, of course, everyone was amazed to see it. But it says, the natural characteristic of Nityananda Swarup is that he cannot give up the mood of servitorship for even a moment. It says that the natural characteristic of Lakshman is to always serve the beloved Lord of Sita with his mind, life, and wealth. And the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta says, just as Lakshman exhibits eternal spontaneous service propensities in the service of Sita's beloved Lord Ramachandra, Nityananda also exhibits constant, uninterrupted endeavors in the service of Lord Gaurachandra. Says, in this way, the mind of Nityananda Swarup is always pleased in the service of Sri Chaitanya Chandra. So, so then after they had this incredible meeting in exchange of love, Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they were both feeling great ecstasy, and Nityananda fell to the ground with such force that everybody thought all of his bones would be broken. And it says that when Nityananda fell unconscious on seeing the six-armed form, Lord Chaitanya personally picked him up with his own hands and said, "Oh, Nityananda, get up and steady your mind. Listen to the congregational chanting that you have begun." So, it says, when Nityananda Prabhu fell unconscious on seeing the six-armed form of Sri Gaurasundar, Mahaprabhu picked him up and said, "Steady your mind and hear the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by you." So he was crediting Nityananda, actually, with the beginning of this Sankirtan movement. He says, "The Kirtan for which you have incarnated to inaugurate is going on before you. What more do you want? So why are you carrying on like this? What you came to do, it's happening. So, you know, take part. And then in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta paraphrases it. He says, since there is a famine of Hari's glorification in this world, you have incarnated from Goloka to glorify Hari and induce others to glorify Hari. That act is now fulfilled. So what further prayer do you have? Loving devotional service belongs to you, for you are the personification of ecstatic love. Unless you distribute this devotional service, no one can possess it. Please control yourself and get up. Glance mercifully on your intimate associates and distribute this wealth to whomever you desire. Anyone who maintains the slightest envy of you is never dear to me, even if he worships me. So sometimes people try to separate or make some distinction between the two lords, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And here he says that anyone who maintains the slightest envy of you is never dear to me, even if he worships me. So in this way they met and began to propagate the Sankirtan movement. Hare Krishna. So, it says that one day the Lord suddenly ordered Nityananda and Haridas as follows. He brought them together. He made Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas kind of like his Sankirtan generals, you could say, his leaders. And he ordered them like this. He said, Shuna Shuna Nityananda Shuna Haridas Sarvatra Amari Agya Karaha Prakash. Listen, Nityananda. Listen, Haridas. Go out and preach my order everywhere. Go to every house and beg in this way. Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Follow Krishna's instructions. So this is the standing order of Lord Chaitanya. Apart from this, you should not speak or have others speak anything else. At the end of the day, come and give me your report. I will take up my chakra and cut off the heads of those who will not chant after being requested by you. So this is a pretty fierce statement by Lord Chaitanya. Of course, the Vaishnavas, when he said that, they laughed. Of course, Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya didn't usually go around cutting anybody's heads off, but Lord Chaitanya was expressing his firm determination that people should be induced to chant somehow or other. So immediately they began to execute the order of Lord Chaitanya. It describes how they went from house to house, door to door, and they would basically just beg people. They would always be invited to take some refreshments, some meals, but they would just say, no, please, we just request that you chant the names of Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow the teachings of Krishna. So this was their mood as preachers, just going door to door and begging people to take up this chanting. And people generally agreed. But then they had a specific run-in, and I won't go into so much of the details of the story, since I think most of you are aware, when they met up with these two brothers, Jagai and Madhai, it was quite a scene. But at one point, after they approached the brothers. They were chased, as you know, they were chased quite some distance because the brothers took offense at being requested, practically requested anything. It describes that these brothers were so sinful that there was no sinful activity they hadn't committed. And then Bhaktisiddhanta in the purport is very interesting. He writes this extensive purport listing every kind of sinful activity there is, according to various shastras. And the only one that they hadn't committed, apparently, was at that point at least, was Vaishnava Aparad. So they had a chance. But initially they chased Haridas. They didn't, and Nityananda. And Haridas was complaining, I'm old, and I'm running along here, and they're gaining on us. What kind of madman are you? And Lord Nityananda said, why are you finding fault with me? Lord Chaitanya gives these difficult orders and expects us to fulfill them. It's his. He did it. No, he was blaming Lord Chaitanya, and they were both laughing and running at the same time. Finally, Chagai and Madhai got tired, and they gave up the chase. And so then they went and made their report to Lord Chaitanya about these two brothers. So when they made the report, Lord Chaitanya said that if they do anything like this again, I'll personally take care of it. I'll kill them. And Nityananda said, well, look, he said, this is all very fine, but, I think, first of all, you know, if you could, you should maybe deliver them. And delivering me is one thing, but trying to deliver these people is another. Anyway, he was complaining that he'd been given such a difficult task. So there was this very humorous sort of transcendental exchange. But in the end of it, Lord Chaitanya more or less said to him, well, look, they're already the object of your mercy, so certainly they'll be delivered. And initially, Nityananda tried to convince Haridas that he should deliver them because he was more tolerant, because he'd already survived the beating of the in the marketplaces. So you're tolerant, you can deliver them. He said, yeah, right. He said, more or less, he said, you're treating me like an ignorant animal. He said, if I think that I can deliver anybody, then that makes me like an animal to think like that. He said, you're actually the Supreme Lord and have descended for this purpose. It's your duty to deliver them. And then Nityananda became quiet because he couldn't really defeat that. So anyway, all these things happened. And then we came to the particular incident where all this came to a head, so to speak. So I'm going to go to that part. Let's see, 13. Yeah. So, actually, at one point, Lord Nityananda had gone down to take bath. And when he was bathing, the Jagai and Madhai were there, and they demanded to know who he was. And he said that he was Avaduta. Well, in a way, it was kind of a merciful answer, because he was, I don't follow any rules and regulations, and neither do you. So we're alike. But they didn't take it that way. They got angry and they attacked him. He wanted to deliver them. But it says, intoxicated in the mood of a child, Lord Nityananda spoke to the drunkards as his pastime. He had already decided, I will deliver these two, which is why he came there that night. So this was at nighttime. On hearing the name Avaduta, Madhai became angry. He picked up a clay pot and hit the Lord's head. So then Jagai interceded and said, why did you do that? You are very cruel. What will you gain by beating an outsider? Leave Avaduta alone. Do not beat him again. What will you gain by beating a sannyasi? Well, of course, he wasn't really a sannyasi. At this point, he was still a brahmachari. But he was thinking that he's a renunciate. So how can you treat him this way? So he interceded. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on the scene, furious with his chakra, was prepared to kill them. And then there was a wild scene, of course, in which, by Nityananda's intercession, Nityananda, when he saw the Lord was about to kill them, he said, when Madhai hit me, Jagai saved me. By providence, blood came out, yet I felt no pain. O Lord, give me these two in charity. You may be pacified, for I feel no pain. So Nityananda Prabhu, enacting the role of a preacher, shows the kind of tolerance and compassion that even though he'd been physically assaulted, not just this wasn't the first time either, but even though he'd been physically assaulted, he immediately was wanting for mercy to be bestowed on these brothers. They were, you know, just consider, they were the most sinful people practically in the whole place. No one was any more sinful than they were. And they had simply been abusive from the very beginning. And yet, he's here pleading for their deliverance. So he says, please give me these two in charity. On hearing the words, Jagai protected me, the Lord became happy and embraced Jagai. He said to Jagai, may Krishna bestow mercy on you. By protecting Nityananda, you have purchased me. Ask me for any benediction you desire. May you attain pure devotional service from this day on. So all the devotees were chanting in ecstasy. And It says, as soon as the Lord said, may you attain pure devotional service, Jagai lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. And then he saw that Lord Chaitanya had four arms holding the conch, disc, club, and lotus, and he put his foot on Jagai's chest. So you can just imagine, Madai is watching all of this, and he's feeling a bit left out. So he begins to argue. His heart changed, of course, when he saw all these ecstatic dealings, and he began to argue. He said, we both committed the sinful activities together. Why do you divide us while bestowing your mercy? Bestow your mercy on me so that I can chant your name. There's no one to deliver me other than you. Then the Lord said, I do not foresee your deliverance, for you have drawn blood from the body of Nityananda. Madai said, you cannot say this. Why are you forsaking your duty? Arguing away. Why did you award your lotus feet to the demons that pierced your body with arrows? Previously, in the previous incarnations, some demons attacked you with arrows and you forgave them. Said the Lord replied, your offense is greater than theirs, because you have drawn blood from the body of Nityananda. The body of Nityananda is superior to mine. I emphatically tell you this truth. Then Madai is, he's having to think fast here. Oh Lord, if you are telling me the truth, then tell me, how will I be delivered? You destroy all disease, for you are the crest jewel of all physicians. If you treat me, then I will be cured. O Lord of the universe, please do not deceive me. Now that you are known, how will you hide? The Lord said, you have committed a grave offense. Go and grab hold of Nityananda's lotus feet. Being ordered by the Lord, Madai then caught hold of the invaluable treasure of Nittai's lotus feet. By taking refuge of those lotus feet, one is never vanquished. Revati knows well the glories of those lotus feet. Vishwambhar said, listen, Nityananda, now that he has fallen at your lotus feet, it is proper for you to show him mercy. Since he has made you bleed, only you can forgive him. And now he has fallen at your feet. Nityananda replied, O Lord, what can I say? You have the potency to bestow mercy even through a tree. So he compared himself to a tree. So he said, I declare emphatically that if I have ever accumulated piety in any lifetime, I give it all to Madhai. So just this is, again, you have to remember Lord Nityananda's pastimes are an example for preachers. On one occasion, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote that each member of the Gaudiya Math should be prepared to shed hundreds of gallons of blood to rescue one single living entity from the material world. So here we see that Nityananda is in that same line of thought. He's saying that if I ever accumulated any piety in any lifetime, you can give it all to this person. So without a pinch of any personal consideration, he was prepared to give whatever he had to relieve him. He says, hey, he is relieved of any offense committed against me. Do not bewilder him. Bestow mercy on your Madhai. So then Lord Chaitanya said, if you have actually forgiven Madhai, then embrace him and make his life successful. So then he embraced Madhai, and then, of course, from that point on, both of them were completely sold out devotees. They agreed to never commit any further sins, and they became completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness and became great, great devotees. So this is a very significant and powerful pastime. And and in this way, they were completely excused by the arrangement of the Lord. Later on, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, of course, Nityananda was engaged in tremendous preaching all over India, all over Bengal especially, going door to door. And it's described that wherever he went, just by glancing at people, they would experience love of Godhead. Just by glancing. So we can just try to imagine the presence and the potency of a personality like this. We have a little taste of it because we had Prabhupada's association. Just by a glance, your life could be changed. And so Nityananda Prabhu would describe that wherever he traveled, there was constant sankirtan. And as he traveled, people would become so overwhelmed that they would offer him everything they had. So often they offered him all kinds of jewels, gold, pearls, diamonds. And so he made necklaces of these things, and he used to dress in a very opulent manner, covered with all this jewels and gold and decoration. He carried a staff, an iron rod that was covered with gold and silver. And it's described that even atheists surrendered to him. Whenever children saw him, there was one village he visited where the children, when they saw Lord Nityananda, they became so inspired that they were constantly chanting the names of Gaur Nitai, and they gave up eating for a month, spontaneously. And their parents were quite worried, but it says these boys were like lions. They were constantly chanting, and sometimes they would uproot trees out of ecstasy. Now, this is sort of unimaginable. I mean, you know, from our perspective, mundane perspective, we can't imagine this, but these children would be so inspired that they became spontaneous renunciants and chanted constantly and ran around doing extraordinary things. At one point, a qazi, a Muslim qazi, which was like a judge, kind of a combination judge and authority in a district, this qazi was trying to prevent Sankirtan, similar to the Chankazi event with Lord Chaitanya, but this was specifically in relation to Nityananda, and Nityananda just began to speak to him in such a way that the Qazi began to chant the holy name, and he became converted to Krishna consciousness also. He went to Advaita Acharya. Now, this was after he had received the order of Lord Chaitanya to go and deliver, because he had to remain in Jagannath Puri on the order of his mother, to go and deliver all these people that were suffering, that was his mission. And so he went. Wherever he went, people were converted. So then he went to spend some time with Advaita Acharya. And he also went to Navadvip and stayed with Sachi Devi for some time, just to give her some relief because she was experiencing so much separation from Lord Chaitanya. So he spent time with her there. And then there is an amazing description where, because he was always traveling in such an opulent fashion, covered with jewels and gold and pearls and diamonds, this leader of dacoits, who's a brahmana, so-called, and he led all this big gang of dacoits. He was a very powerful person in this particular district. So when he saw Lord Nityananda, he began to follow him about, thinking, you know, maybe I'll get a chance to steal these things. So it's described that that Lord Nityananda, wherever he traveled, he was delivering thieves and rogues and the fallen and wretched persons. And so they camped outside the place where Nityananda was staying, where there was Sankirtan going on. And they were thinking, after they all go to sleep, we'll go in and get all the jewels. So they were sleeping, and it describes that Nidra Devi covered them in such a way that they continued to sleep until very late the next morning. So their opportunity was lost. So they were all accusing and counter-accusing each other of messing up the operation. And then they thought, maybe it's because we didn't worship Chandi. Chandi is, of course, the manifestation of Durga. And they said, we should have worshipped Chandi. She probably caused us to oversleep because we didn't do that. So they worshipped Chandi. And then they went again to try to get the jewels. And there are all these soldiers around the area of Nityananda's place of residence. And these soldiers were constantly chanting the holy names, and they looked like demigods. So they think, where did all these soldiers come from? So the soldiers were guarding. They had no way they could attack that night either. So then they again delayed their plans. And they made another attempt. And this time it was a dark night, there was no moonlight. So when they attacked, it was so dark that they couldn't see, and then they actually went blind. None of them could see anything, not only because it was dark, but because they had been blinded somehow. And so it's described that they fell into ditches, and they fell, you know, in pits, and they were staggering and falling into various places. And it says they were bitten. First of all, they were blind, and then they were bitten by all these different kinds of insects. as well as leeches. They were stuck through with thorns and insects and broken bones even. Plus they were blind. And then there was a rainstorm which turned into a hailstorm. So you can imagine the state they were in. By the next day, they were completely shredded practically. And then lightning struck as well. And it stunned them all into unconsciousness. So they were a little convinced that they weren't going to be successful. And so the dacoit leader began to pray to Lord Nityananda, you must be an incarnate, you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please, please forget. And he began to offer all these very sincere prayers. And then all of his followers were miraculously healed from their difficulties. And he went and fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda and prayed for deliverance. So I just want to read what Nityananda had to say at that time. 5:19. Oh, no, wrong book. Oh, dear. Sorry, I tried to be organized, but it never really works out. 5:19. No, I don't think I have it. This is frustrating. Oh, wait, 5. Oh, no, okay, I do have it. I think. Yeah, some kind of teasing is going on. 5. Well, what's actually happened is I put the wrong reference down. Anyway, this section I'm going to actually read now has to do with Lord Chaitanya ordering Lakshman to go to Bengal. The words of the dacoit leader. I'll have to come back to you later because I can't find them. But this was when Lord Chaitanya was staying in Jagannath Puri, and he wanted Lord Nityananda to go to Bengal to deliver all the people. He says, Nittai's love for Lord Chaitanya was like the love and attachment Lakshman had for Ramachandra. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the entire world is now singing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. In this way, the two brothers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nittai, lived at Nilachala. One day, Sri Gaurasundar, the Supreme Lord in the form of a human being, sat down with Nityananda in a solitary place. The Lord said, "Listen, O magnanimous Nityananda, go quickly to Navadvip. I have personally promised to inundate the fools, the fallen, and the poor in the happiness of ecstatic love. If you also remain silent like a muni and renounce your magnanimous nature, then tell me, who will deliver the fools and the wretched souls who have fallen into material life? You are the distributor of the mellows of devotional service. If you hide them, then what is the use of your incarnation in this world? Now, if you wish to fulfill my promise, then you should go to Bengal without delay. Deliver the foolish, wretched, fallen, and distressed persons by giving them devotional service." Having received the Lord's order, Sri Nityananda Chandra immediately left for Gaudadesh with his associates. So in this journey is where they traveled all over India and delivered so many people. And then ultimately he went to Bengal and to specifically to Navadvip to spend time with the associates of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. We have to stop? Oh, okay. All right. So I guess there can't be a part 2, so we'll have to stop there. Hare Krishna.